Hello and welcome to the Mount Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Monday, May 23rd. Happy Missions Monday. I'm reading from the New International Version. We pick up in Leviticus chapter 10. The title in my Bible says, The Death of Nadab and Abihu. And this is an interesting one. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense. And they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. So fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Moses then said to Aaron, This is what the Lord spoke of when he said, Among them who approach me, I will be proved holy. In the sight of all the people, I will be honored. Aaron remained silent. Moses summoned Mishael and Elzaphan, sons of Aaron's uncle Uzziel, and said to them, Come here, carry your cousins outside the camp, away from the front of the sanctuary. So they came and carried them, still in their tunics, outside the camp, as Moses ordered. Then Moses said to Aaron and his sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, Do not let your hair become unkempt, and do not tear your clothes, or you will die, and the Lord will be angry with the whole community. But your relatives, all the Israelites, may mourn for those the Lord has destroyed by fire. Do not leave the entrance to the tent of meeting, or you will die, because the Lord's anointing oil is on you. So they did as Moses said. Then the Lord said to Aaron, You and your sons are not to drink wine or other fermented drink whenever you go into the tent of meeting, or you will die. This is a lasting ordinance for the generations to come, so that you can distinguish between the holy and the common, between the unclean and the clean. And so you can teach the Israelites all the decrees the Lord has given them through Moses. Moses said to Aaron and his remaining sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, Take the grain offering left over from the food offerings prepared without yeast, and present it to the Lord, and eat it beside the altar, for it is most holy. Eat it in the sanctuary area, because it is your share and your son's share for the food offerings presented to the Lord. For so I have been commanded. But you and your sons and your daughters may eat the breast that was waved and the thigh that was presented. Eat them in a ceremonially clean place. They have been given to you and your children as your share of the Israelites' fellowship offerings. The thigh that was presented and the breast that was waved must be brought with the fat portions of the food offering, to be waved before the Lord as a wave offering. This will be the perpetual share for you and your children, as the Lord has commanded. When Moses inquired about the goat of the sin offering and found that it had been burned up, he was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's remaining sons, and asked, Why didn't you eat the sin offering in the sanctuary area? It is most holy. It is given to you to take away the guilt of the community by making atonement for them before the Lord. Since its blood was not taken into the holy place, you should have eaten the goat in the sanctuary area, as I commanded. Aaron replied to Moses, Today they sacrifice their sin offering and their burnt offering before the Lord, but such things as this have happened to me. Would the Lord have been pleased if I had eaten the sin offering today? When Moses heard this, he was satisfied. As we contemplate this chapter, I want us to go back to verse 1. Nadab and Abihu, they offered some kind of unauthorized fire before the Lord. So they're trying to do their own fancy fire, which, as it says in the scripture, he had not commanded them. What is the refrain we've been hearing over and over in the scripture? Just as the Lord commanded them. It is so important for us and for them to obey the Lord. And I look down in my study Bible notes and it says, the point of this story is that God will not allow his holiness to be violated, not even by members of the high priest family. And then down at the end of this chapter, we see another snafu, don't we? Eleazar and Ithamar are supposed to eat part of the sin offering in a certain part of the sanctuary in the holy place. And so Moses knows that this doesn't happen, and he and Aaron get into a bit of a tiff about it. I'm going to read to you from my study Bible about this. Moses voices his anger. Aaron, however, intervenes on behalf of his two sons. He argues that the events of the day have been so exceptional. So, in other words, they've lost their two brothers. They're afraid of God and what he might do to them, as to show that it is too dangerous to perform the ritual. Aaron's defense displays his fear of the holiness of God, which Moses is glad to see in his brother. And then in another study Bible, it talks about that basically the brothers, the tragic events of the day had eradicated their hunger. And I can kind of understand that, right? They've seen the holiness of God on display when someone does something that he had not commanded in the most holy place, and they've lost their brothers. And so they didn't want to eat, and so they didn't want to take the sin offering into the holy place. It says here, God had mercy on them because they had done everything else properly. You know, the study Bible notes are often just trying to help us understand difficult passages, and I think those notes were helpful to me. Let's move on now to the Psalms. Today we're in Psalm 147. This is another of the Psalms that starts and finishes with the three words, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the numbers of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but he casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Extol the Lord, Jerusalem. Praise your God, Zion. He strengthens the bars of your gates and blesses your people within you. He grants peace to your borders and satisfies you with the finest of wheat. He sends his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He spreads the snow like wool and scatters the frost like ashes. He hurls down his hail like pebbles. Who can withstand his icy blast? He sends his word and melts them. He stirs up his breezes and the waters flow. He has revealed his word to Jacob, his laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nation. They do not know his laws. Praise the Lord. As we move over to 1 Corinthians today, we're going to read the chapter about love. You hear this often at weddings, but it is good for every day. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now, we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. What a beautiful reminder of the way that love impacts us. It is patient and kind, not envious or proud. It is not self-seeking. It never fails. And then at the end of this passage, we have the idea that faith, hope, and love are the three things that remain, but that the greatest is love. And I heard someone say once that the greatest is love because one day our faith will be made sight, and one day we won't have to hope anymore in the resurrection. It will have come to pass. But forever, love will remain because we will be fully known and we will fully know the love of our Father. Today, as we think about missions, we're going to pray for those who are being sent out from our church on mission. So we have a student mission team that is going to Casa Monte Plata in the Dominican Republic to serve with Ann Payton Baker. And we have a Builders for Christ team that is going to Beaver Creek, Ohio, to partner with a church in need. And we have a family mission team that is going to Dadeville, Alabama. These are all happening at the end of May and in June. And so we're all going to be praying for these events as they go and for the people who go on mission, and that the light of Christ would go with them and that they would be able to accomplish much toward the mission of sharing Christ with the world. Will you pray with me? Lord, we pray for these teams as they prepare to lead and serve, as they take the good news of the gospel around our state and our country and our world. Please be with them in traveling mercies. Lord, we ask that as they're there, that you would meet them in their greatest needs. You would show them your glory, and you would help them to return to us even more on fire for you. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for the reminders that love never fails. And we see the greatest love displayed in Jesus our Lord. It is in his name that we pray. Amen.